And welcome, everybody. Welcome, everybody. It's a Wednesday evening. I know I crack myself up. I'm sure I crack you guys up sometimes. On Wednesday evening, you have reached the one, the only, the Kate Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. That's where we can be found. blogtalkradio.com/or/ Kate Thompson Live. My name is Citizen Payne, otherwise known as the Son. My mom, Kate Thompson, is on assignment in heaven. And today, 13th of November, I was going to say it might as well be Friday the 13th, Wednesday the 13th for some people. Bad luck for some people today, if you know who I'm talking about. Bad luck for some people today, because other people came to tell the truth. You know what I'm talking about, what's going on today. The impeachment process has taken the next, gone to the next level. And you know what they say, there's an old saying that says, be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for, because Republicans were asking for a lot of stuff, and now they got it. And, you know, now they're a little upset and trying to make up stories and talk about things and who, whatever. And you can see them getting frustrated. It's really funny. But let's go in and bring my brothers in here. Let's go to Wayne Gilman. First, the legendary newsman up in his house, Mr. Gilman, Brother Gilman. How you doing, Wayne? What's your perspective?
Dr. Payne and company, chickens have come home to roost, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Today was a day that was long expected. I didn't get a chance to really watch all of what on, but from whatever I gleaned from early this morning, the presentation by both the witnesses, you know, I thought was excellent. It was not bipartisan or anything like that. It wasn't partisan, I should say. You know, mm-hmm. Very objective. The politics was not even a part of the script. They just saw things as they called it. And it, in my opinion, maybe I'm a little biased, but I think the Republicans really showed up short. You know, it just bothers me that they are trying to throw all sorts of things out there to distract from the real issue. The fact that this man admitted that there is a memorial of his admission that he committed what is considered to be treasonous activity, that his personal envoy, legal envoy, was in the midst of all sorts of activity that pointed to an impropriety on the government's part. And the deal is the Republicans are basically just dancing in front of their crowd, trying to hold on to their seats. And a neighbor of mine over here, who's a lawyer, said to me about 2-3 years ago that party is going to bring the United States to its knees. And clearly, it just seems like, you know, today is just a defining factor of what lengths they will go through to defend somebody who need not be in office. The man is, you know, we have that issue today. Then the southern part of the law senate came out with another piece regarding Stephen Miller, which I hope that if you get a chance to Google that while we're on the air this evening. Very important about how racist everything is. Like there's a nexus to everything that they're doing now that just points to an agenda that they had from the very beginning. The man has just basically was hell bent on making America what it used to be and trying to reinvent the wheel that you know it's over. I mean, it's just so simplistic is that, you know? I mean, it's like I don't understand why the other side, those of them who are quietly, you know, twisting in the wind saying, well, I don't know what to do, and there's so many of the members of the party that are resigning, you know, in the House and a few in the Senate, you know, it's just going to be interesting to see how this thing unveils unravels in the next couple of weeks. And I really don't think, you know, I mean, not to be too long-winded with this, but I really don't think it's going to take that long. I mean, the American people, if they were focused on what they heard, you know, there was a compelling argument for impeachment and removal from office.
Right, if you're just looking at it from an objective standpoint. But let's bring Brother Byron Saunders in here also, get his take as well from the historian standpoint, as well as your astute observation from your vantage point,
right,
3 miles away.
Yes.
In the bell tower at Howard.
It's not even too far. Okay. So, the stench is much greater than even the distance.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But.
Try to get that wind.
I will. That's right. You try, and unfortunately, the wind is blowing in every direction, north, south, east, and west, because when the truth is revealed, as we knew.
Hurricane. Tornado, bro. Hello?
What is amazing is the depth of the facts that are being revealed. And like you said, Wayne, they don't have a choice. They will either acknowledge the facts as truth, or they will stay in the world of their virtual reality of lies. And that's okay, too, because at the end of that day, as I said last week and the week before last, the end game to impeachment – the serious end game to impeachment, impeachment. They're not doing this for a show. This is not a game show. This is not one of those reality shows that, you know, is scripted for beginning, middle, and end. This is for real. And what's really at stake is the Constitution, is the nation. And once the people engage the seriousness of it, because up until now, it's like, let's just go to a football game and see if the president can win over from his base in Alabama and not get booed like he did at Madison Square Garden, or like he got booed at the World Series. You see, that's the game that they're playing. They think it's a game show. But it's in reality, history tells us that when the country goes down this road, as long as it takes, when the facts are revealed, the nation wakes up. That's what's needed at this point. It's a smell test, basically. Scratch and sniff and smell. Because the reality of the sniff and smell is, like I said, the stench is horrendous. What's really going on with our federal government and the attempted coup. This was not one of those made for television shows. This was actually ongoing as an attempted coup of our nation's democracy by individuals, both within the GOP and those of the 1% who wanted to buy this nation's government. That's what's at stake. That's real. And it is, and indeed, a wake-up call. And maybe by Christmas, if you still believe in Santa Claus or Sanity Claus, it doesn't matter to me which one. But the truth is, the sanity of this nation will be shaken to the core. And it will be a wake-up call, finally. So if your friend is the lawyer is correct, it's the end of the GOP or the nation, he's absolutely correct. That's real, Wayne. Okay, and I sense that you're seeing it because you're seeing it live in front of your face. It's kind of hard to turn down the facts. Now, they'll try to do the Matrix game on us. We know that. That's what the GOP is doing. But ultimately, you can't keep burying your head in the sand when the facts become so revelatory that even when you pull your head out, not only will you realize you've been sticking your head in manure, you're going to be figuring out the smell has got you in trouble too. So here we go. Every day it's going to be like this from here to the end.
And, you know, the thing about the whole what this particular presidency does, what Donald Trump does for them, that have been keepers of a system. They've been maintaining a system, you know, their system of government, of, you know, of course, white supremacy, the way countries went. So they've got to maintain a system. So the government is a system of how things are running. You know, they got their rules. They got their orders of how they play the game. they still, their objective is still the same, the supremacy, because of the way they designed the system, right? Even the way they,
yes.
you know, would slip in the various things with the Constitution, you know, black people weren't citizens at first and got the amendments and all this stuff, you know, but all of that system is made where they can kind of use it like a Jenga puzzle and pull pieces out and renumer it and refigure it, rejiggerate it, and all that other stuff to their benefit. And that's what they
yes.
do. And here comes this. And so that system has been working, you know, for a long period of time for them, as long as they maintain, you know, and you know, as they've gone on, they've reworked the system. Okay, people ain't accepting slavery, Jim Crow. Okay, they ain't accepting Jim Crow no more. A few civil rights here. Okay, they accepting that. You know, so they always adjust the system, but they keep the system
yes.
moving. And I think what's going to cause them to turn on Trump is that he's going to reveal their system, because their system
yes.
allows them to continue to make that money, which is really what they're pimping everybody. I mean, they're going to pimp us, black and brown people, the most. But really, economically, when we talk about the 1%, you know, you ain't going to beat them. You know, the rest of the country ain't going to beat the top 1% because the finance is on their side. So that's why you
yes.
need some billionaires on your side, too. So how many billionaires, you know, it's like, you know, who's on our side? We got to count votes. How many billionaires we got in the world? Okay, they got 10 billionaires. We need to get 10 billion, you know. It's got to be, I mean, really, if you're going to have an equitable, not only country, but world, that's what you got to be. But there's all these other various elements, like white supremacy, you know, that's one element to the class element, to the economic fighter stuff. So these guys, this guy comes along, he's breaking their system. He's revealing their shit a little bit too much. So that's
right.
the only
right.
way that they're going to decide it's time for you to go. Just like Nixon.
Speaking of
billionaires. You know,
yeah, speaking of billionaires.
Go ahead.
Exactly. They weren't going to go down. I was just going to say, speaking of billionaires, here we have Bloomberg, which is, to me, is as comical as it gets, is not
mm-hmm.
even a Democrat. Let's start that off right from the very giddy up. And he is putting his hat into the
–
Bloomberg is putting his hat into the race.
I hate to intervene. He was a Democrat. He became a Republican to run for mayor – only in the city of New York that time, you know?
Yeah, so
and,
what does that tell you about the zebra? Does he change his stripes?
You know, he changes his stripes. I know that but, you know, there was a certain level of...
But he's on our side. That's what I'm saying. We got one on our side.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I know. That's why I'm commenting. It's like, okay.
For the most part.
You know,
for the most part.
Right. I'm not saying he's perfect because I'm not into stop and frisk. Although sometimes
right, exactly.
I wonder, you know, I mean, the deal is, I understand where you're coming from, Byron, but the bottom
yeah.
line is, you know, he's on the right side of the gun issue, he's on the right side of immigration, he's on the right side of homelessness, you know,
okay.
those things I embrace. But my problem is, he's over 70.
Okay, but here's
right.
the question for the elephant that's in the room, out of the room, and it doesn't matter to me which side you're, of the base that you're on. The reality is this. Is he on the people's side? That's the main question. Because
more,
at the point
more,
in which
more
if
so
he's
than
calling,
some of them other cats.
Yes,
more so
but is
point. More so
but
than
is
some
that
of
a good choice?
From a presidential candidate side, yeah, no, I would have my reservations about him too. If you know, it's like when we talk about the Republicans and people that are down with some of the things that Trump says. Well, if you're cool with that, then that tells me something. So, I mean, Bloomberg was cool with stop and frisk, so that tells me something about him, you know, and the type of things that he could potentially be cool with for expediency.
Yeah, but here's what
usually.
I really want to know from Bloomberg. Here's the litmus test. The litmus test for Bloomberg, and you're going to see it in this next Democratic debate that's coming out of Atlanta, I believe. Here's the litmus question for all of them. Would you have allowed those protesters in that Kansas City church, those white protesters who showed up at a church service in Kansas City to as a silent protest to remove the Martin Luther King Jr. name from the street named after someone who is especially a civil rights icon. Would you, Bloomberg, have acknowledged and allowed that to happen under in your Justice Department? Because not only were they trespassing, they were asked to leave on a Sunday service, and then they removed the name from the street. And what was that really all about? Because I don't care about your money, Bloomberg. I want to know, are you going to defend me, defend the Constitution, defend the fact that we have a national holiday, okay? Tell me about that.
Why don't you recap that situation for people who might not know?
Okay, here's the recap. In Kansas City, they overwhelmingly voted, white folks, to remove Martin Luther King's name from Paseo Drive. They want to turn it back to Paseo Drive. Now, what white folks did on a Sunday, went en masse as a group of protesters, marched into a black church doing service and stood in the aisles and refused to leave once being asked to leave.
Whoa.
Now, gentlemen, you tell me, because like I said, I don't care about Bloomberg's money. You tell me what side of the fence do you stand on, because these people violated us.
And the thing is, there are people who are in a position of power in Kansas. You said this was Kansas City?
And who
stood up in our defense.
That's right.
Because I'm not saying this rhetorically. I don't know. I'm just, I'm hearing this for the first time.
Imagine hearing it. And what was your immediate feelings when I just revealed this to you?
It's insulting. It's offensive. That's no different.
That's a question out of the news that you would ask him. I understand. Well, that's a question out of the news that you would ask about how he responded to you, as you would ask every candidate. And assuming his feelings on stop and frisk, obviously we know his we're not sure what his answer quite would be, whether it would be on our side or not. That's crazy. It went down to Kansas City. I heard that they wanted to remove the sign and the election took place or whatever. I didn't hear that they had got that crazy. I'm surprised there was no violence that went down. But
I don't think the mask personally. There's a whole
right. There's a whole it ain't just Bloomberg now. There's whole constituencies, obviously, that feel that way, that are so hateful and racist, that they would march into somebody's church, inside the house of worship.
Well, that's different than a little twisted white kid who came in with a sawed-off shotgun and took away all those
same thing. So, see, at the point at which this is coming down to the race factor. You brought up Mrs. Miller. Of the White House staff, who is a staunch racist. I don't care what religion is, the racist. He's a racist MF, okay?
And if you read that Southern Poverty Law Center report.
Let's put a pause here. So, Wayne, can you reference what you were talking about with Stephen Miller? Because I'm not familiar myself.
Yeah. There was the Southern Poverty Law Center did released a report the other day. In fact, our beloved Congresswoman AOC just picked up on it today about how this man has been working with Breitbart News and all sorts of other organizations promoting a very racist, very right-centered agenda, and that his whole thing is anti-immigrant, that he was positioning himself from the time before Trump was elected and considering running for the presidency in 2015 and 16, to basically try to put an agenda to divide the vote in favor that would tip the scales, that would bring back what is going on right now. This man, with the position that he has in the White House, in the Trump administration, it is so damning when you read what has come out of this report, that it's just amazing that he's managed to Trump has managed to get away with this. But this is the guy that has Trump's ear at all times. When he looks at different things that have gone on, from a racial perspective in the last 3 years, this fits the agenda of what he's been espousing all this time, and particularly Breitbart News, you know, Stephen Bannon's operation, and that they, you know, they have been just working in lockstep. There's this one piece here, and it says, in September 2015, an email from Miller recommended Breitbart write about the Camp of the Saints, which the Southern Poverty Law Center described as a racist French novel popular among the neo-Nazis and white nationalists. The book fictionalizes the Great Replacement conspiracy theory and white genocide. Many of Miller's emails directly correspond with stories published on the right-wing website just hours or even weeks later. 18 days after Miller's emails about the French novel, Breitbart editor Julia Hahn published a story about Pope Francis urging America to open its borders to the impoverished migrants and cited the Camp of Saints in the headline. That same month, Miller sent Breitbart a link to a tweet from right-wing pundit David Frum, which laments half of all violent crime in Germany committed by the foreign news. Miller and his Stonehenge, Stonehenge exchange goes on to discuss how SAT scores plummeted because of the forced inclusion of poor and non-white students into classrooms here in the United States. You know, there, it just seems to be more and more information coming out about the orchestration of what led to Trump's rise to power. And the fact that the Electoral College, I believe, had a hand in this too, because when you stop and look at everything that has gone on, you know, the fact that he's made it a point to surround himself with people who basically have this extreme right-wing racist agenda, it's no wonder he knew that that was the one thing that he could, you know, gravitate in terms of middle America that you know, that I hate to refer to as the flyover states where they only see things a certain way, that suited his election, and that's what he's playing into right now, you know.
It's just sad.
I mean, when I read this the other day,
Trump,
I couldn't believe it.
I don't think from Trump's perspective that – I think he was just running. I think that the perfect storm, because I think they've been laying those foundations in place for the election of George Bush now. Stole that election from Al Gore. They've been laying this foundation for a while. You know, Lindsey Graham has been in Congress for a while. And, you know, before Lindsey Graham and some of these other, Boehner, there was Trent Lott and Tom DeLay, right? So,
and Breitbart's,
you know, they've
been around for a while.
Huh?
Breitbart.
What'd you say?
Or the Breitbart News has been around
for more than
a minute. Yeah.
I'm talking about on the government, you know, the officials in office. So this foundation has been there for a while. It's been being in every generation of new racists that come through. They build upon it, you know. But like I said, certain of them recognize that some of the others are more crazy than they are because some of the others are willing to have the scorched earth vibe, just burn the whole system down, right? These ones that are elected officials in office realize there's a way that we can pimp the system and maintain our position of dominance in society, of the haves and the controllers, you know what I'm saying, and the ruling class, and make a money. And that's, I think, the elite Republicans or the ones who still voted for him but act like they're not racist, that's where they're coming
from.
I think Trump was their Frankenstein because he's the monster that they can't control.
Yeah.
And it's tied to Jimmy Carter said this, April 13th in 2019. This is extraordinary. And Jimmy Carter said this to Donald Trump. Since 1979, do you know how many times China has been at war with anybody? None. And we have stayed at war. Over its entire 242-year history, the United States has enjoyed only 16 years of peace, according to the former president. This makes the United States the most warlike nation in the history of the world.
Exactly.
We have wasted $3 trillion on military spending. China has not wasted a single penny on war, and that's why they're ahead of us in almost every way.
Right.
Wow.
That goes with the imperialism. And that goes with the imperialism and the kind of supremacist doctrine that the United States tries to carry and put forth over the world, right? That's why we always in some stuff with people in a war somewhere, because we're putting our trying to put our stuff in. You know, they're trying to control stuff. Just like when, you know, the European nations back in the day got up and carved up Africa, which parts of Africa? You know, the United States is the culmination of all those cats with those mentalities.
Yes, the Berlin Agreement. That's what it was called.
Right, exactly. Exactly. You know, I think that I always love to watch, you know, the taping and the testimonies live. I always was been fascinated by that since I was a kid. Obviously, being brought up in the environment I was, I guess that makes sense. But you learn so much, and when you see. And you know this, Byron, from being a performer, actor, when you see it lived out, played out in front of you, you get a different assessment, body language, how people look when they're answering the questions, you know, all of that, the reality of the moment that people can't spin and make up and interpret for you because you're sitting there watching and absorbing the whole thing. And more people need to do that just to understand how the process of government works, you know, because that's how these guys are able to spin. You know, well, the process is wrong, and they're not giving us a fair. No, the process is not wrong. You guys know this is how it works. You know, when they were trying to object to the chairman, and he was cutting them off, they're all upset. But those are the rules of the committee. When the chairman says, you know, makes a ruling, a certain thing that's within his discretion, those are the rules. You don't like it, win some elections, and then you guys will be in the chairmanship. Just like you used to do a couple of years ago when your man was running over to the White House to have, like, midnight coffee. So, you know. This is the thing, when people understand how the process works and how it's supposed to work, which is the great aspect of having like these guys testifying today, you know, because they're like regular people, you know. One thing the politicians or a lot of these cats that are too stupid to realize, a lot of the people that are like career diplomats and they work within the infrastructure of government and keeping the government running and working, they try not to get into the politics too much. They're like regular people, so they get as frustrated with the politicians when they say the stupid stuff that some of them cats were saying as everybody else. That's why they look at them like crazy, you know? And it's really funny how when they don't know what to do when they get somebody that they can't spin their story when someone's telling the truth, you know, like they were trying to do with Taylor and Republicans.
I tell you one thing that really bothers me, how they keep asking for the whistleblower. You know, it's like they defy the whole concept of what whistleblowing is all about. And we're beyond that. You know, I mean, one guy got back at Jim Jordan today because I tell you, if I were there, and I'm not inciting violence, I'm a very peace-loving person, but every time he opens his mouth, Jordan, I just want to, you know, wrap him around my fist. But, you know, he's always talking about how we don't have the one person who started the whole issue of this impeachment proceeding, and a Democratic congressman, I forgot what state, and who came back and responded finally.
They said,
they need to bring Trump before the he started the impeachment proceeding. You know, forget the whistleblower; it was him.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
It is true. You know.
So see,
that's why
I think. As we started off the show tonight, is a look at the truth. The truth, America, is staring you in the face. Now, are you going to be able to handle the truth? I mean, let's quote the line from A Few Good Men. I don't think you can handle the truth. Okay?
Yeah.
At this point, that is what's going to be the saving factor of this nation. And thank goodness the methodical process, and it's laborious. There's still more ugly to come out before we even get to the vote. So buckle your seatbelts, guys, because you're about to hear the treason that has been committed, and it's ultimately going. I mean, for our Democratic debate that's going to come up next Thursday, is it somewhere in there? I think what we're going to see is a change in the flow of the Democratic candidates in terms of either they sign on to the impeachment or they play that I'm going to sit on the fence game. all of them are going to have to get up off the fence, and they're going to have to go one way or the other. It's very obvious now that these facts are going to dictate where we are headed toward the next election.
I'm just surprised Wall Street did not react today. You know, in fact, things
Wall,
were up.
Wall Street is a bit, yeah, but see, Wall Street.
Well,
is
I mean,
a
it's very possible that it still might see a reaction tomorrow because they ended the testimonies late today. So.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Think of that.
So
yeah.
I mean, right, and we got, and there will be defections along the way. Make no mistake about it, because once again, the economy that they're touting as being so great is a smoke and mirrors game. They're cooking the books. You can't have a $1.3 trillion deficit and then tell me your economy. I don't need to be Alan Greenspan to tell you this. I don't need to take a single course in economics to let you know that if you're running up that kind of deficit, which is red ink, there's no way you can catch up. No way.
Exactly.
That's right. That's fifth grade math right there that they're trying to put on people, bro.
That's right. Hello.
Like the TV show said, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Because that's fifth grade math
exactly.
right there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no reason to expect. Everything is fraudulent. That's the whole issue.
That's right.
There's nothing that is going to be honest and true and based in fact in this particular era with this particular individual.
We learned this economic lesson
when
we were in elementary school. Y'all remember when we had penny candy time, BB bats, squirrel nuts, and all that lollipop stuff? You had a chance to buy some candy. And the person who was in charge with the candy, they would tell you, no money, no candy. Okay? So
exactly.
You said, well, I'll pay you next week. I'm sorry, the teacher told me, you ain't got no money, no candy.
That's story.
Economics, okay?
Exactly.
You know, I was looking, Byron, you talked about the show Watchmen. And
yes.
I have been checking it out ever since. So now I'm hooked on that. But it's fantastic that history is kind of getting revealed. I don't know whose idea it was or how they pitched that or got that done, but that's incredible.
It is, yeah.
And I don't know if that's in the original kind of comic, right? I don't know if that storyline is in
not.
The original comic of Watchmen. It's not, right?
No,
so,
because they basically give you World War II history. Okay.
Oh, that's what the original is?
The nuclear war. That's right.
Right.
But I don't want to get into that too much. Yeah.
But that's what the original basis background was World War II, right? That's what you're saying. So now they just kind of changed the background focus. But I wanted to go to Byron Allen, too, that we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I watched the interview on the Griot website. What he's facing and really about the rule that Comcast is trying to get overturned, 153-year-old civil rights law. And they own MSNBC and a number of other things. And, you know, this is, like he was explaining, this is really devastating what they could do if they get this law overturned, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I'm going to have to stop watching my MSNBC. Because they own MSNBC, you know. I mean, this is really a time when a coordinated economic boycott needs to be had by our people. But the question remains, as with all boycotts and sacrifice and the struggle, can people really do it without it? And me being a person who gets most of their news from the MSNBC news channel, I'm like, you know, that's a very small kind of first world example of what it takes to sacrifice for the struggle, you know, and where does it leave us? So, but this is one of those circumstances where. Go ahead.
And it puts us even more into a kind of a quandary here, because when I went to go see my fiance and I went to go see Harriet this past weekend, it's brilliant. Harriet is awesome, okay?
But once again,
Comcast has money on that. So where do our allegiances really, really lie? Because at the end of the day, you're asking a very significant question. And I think when you see Harriet, she kind of tells you what we're supposed to do now, whether we're going to do it with respect to the the big question as she posed to those free Negroes in D.C., and she says to them in the movie, y'all have never had to endure what slavery was all about. Y'all are free
right
here. Okay?
Well, I think
now you asking me to stop. You asking me not to go back and rescue my people. I have no other obligation but to do that. These are my people, my family. So at some point, wasn't that the question that the Montgomery bus boycott people had to answer? Do we ride
yeah
the bus out to Whitetown to go get our jobs as maids, butlers, and yard people? Or do we go out and on together and declare that we will not take the bus out there because we're
exactly
supporting? That's the question that's at hand, guys. It's real.
Well, you know,
this is no
thing,
game.
Well, it's a different day in that we have so many different resources for information. And I understand because I'm locked into MSNBC and CNN
to
a certain
yeah
extent, you know. But I also think that we have a certain and again, I tell you, I swear, Eric, I'll never blow up your phone like that, like the night that I did, you know, about the whole Byron Allen thing. But, you know, it was like everybody I've turned on to that particular interview has had the same reaction. But I think it's
right
the onus now are the people like the Oprah Winfreys, the Will Smiths, the Tyler Perrys, the Michael Jordans.
That's the only way that it works.
Out of dime.
Right.
I wasn't familiar with the civil rights issue, with the civil rights law. I was familiar with that. He was suing Comcast for the discrimination and not letting him, you know, get his shows on the networks or his networks on their cable system. I didn't know until I watched that interview of what they were trying to do to achieve that and what they're willing
right
to sacrifice to dismantle. And that's the thing that is really the most dangerous and what we need to be vigilant about, because they will,
right,
you know, like we talked about earlier, they'd have no problem with seeing us go back all the progress that we've made if it will help expedite their desires and their wishes, even if it's not in the form of a straight, linear, supremacist, racist thing. I mean, you know, just
right
in the form of making money. The rights and concerns of black people are the least important to these big corporations, certainly, right? That's why,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's why the industrial parks in the black neighborhoods or the oil fields or the transformer stations always end up in the
mm-hmm
inner city or whatever, you know? So, you know, our rights are the least of their concern. So it's no wonder that the decisions that they make are such like that, you know? Somebody comes up with the idea, one of the lawyers comes up with the idea, how can we beat this? How can we challenge this law, challenge this? You know, because that's really, you know, when we get into the public and governmental law arena, it's precedent, it's argument, it's making your case. And a lot of times what we're realizing is people having the nerve and the balls. It's like, really? Is that really a tactic you're willing to take? I know. Like, who's the one in the room? They all sit around and say, I know. Well, let's challenge that law then. How do we get around it? Well,
right,
the only way you get around it is that this aspect, it might be a challengeable here. Really a challenging the actual civil rights? Yeah, because, you know, it has to be proven that the decision was based 100% on race. But just the fact
mm-hmm
that's something that's up for grabs for them, you know? Like
yeah
I keep saying, when
they
when
can
one
act
of,
on
one
it
of, yeah, and they can act exactly. Wait, that's even worse, right? And the fact that they can put it into effect
yeah
and be like, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Everybody
right
good? Okay,
and
great.
And they got their minstrels on MSNBC. I mean, I hate to go there. And, you know, one we've all known and loved for years and stuff like that. And I was just proud to read the other day, the brother has $500,000 in his bank account. He's among the most famous, religious ministers on the planet. But the bottom line is that they will shuffle and they know that they have a black or a clientele of diversity that they could always play up on, you know. And NBC has been that way for years. You know, they were the first to put Nat King Cole and Sammy Davis Jr. on their own shows, you know. But at the end of the day, it's not about the image so much as it is what they're getting, you know, in their pockets. But when a black man who was once in good standing with the community was able to keep that network afloat for 10 years and had the number one show and threatened to buy it right away.
They assassinated
and it goes down.
Character.
It's Monopoly. It's like playing Monopoly, man. You know, it's like being on Boardwalk, and you know, I tell you, it's fascinating how they play the game, and it's advanced now. It's so far advanced. If you're not into it, because you know, I had to sit there and just go over this in my own mind how we're impacted. And again, I'm not I don't want to even beat up on the people I used to work for, but it just magnifies further the loss of what control we once had.
Right, right. That's a big business, and people selling out, things getting bought out. You know, for the example, the Cosby example, because that situation kind of makes it hard to use that as an example.
I know.
I mean, the vulnerability that he put himself in, and as juxtaposed to the potential of what his accomplishments could have meant. But putting that aside, the news agencies, they're business, right? So I think what's a bigger thing to point out, or a bigger perspective to take or to look at it from, is not the people that they have there that work there in certain positions, you know, and their faces and appeasing, but the reason that they have those people there is because they tell a certain news a certain way, right? They report the news from a certain perspective, a little bit probably more objective, obviously more liberal than, say, Fox. So these are companies, CNN, owned by whoever they're owned, MSNBC, Comcast, Fox by Rupert Murdoch, and then whatever else. But they've decided, that they want to – what kind of news business do they want to be in? Like Newsmax and the other Air America, they decided they wanted to be in the extreme right news business.
Right.
So that's the news that they report. MSNBC and CNN are in the liberal news business. Now, is that based on the actual political aspirations or ideologies of people who run those networks, or is it a business choice? Is it a business choice?
They do
conservative. The other guys do conservative. We do liberal. And we'll sell the liberal brand, even though the actions of our company as a whole still are within the tenets of supremacy, imperialism, you know what I mean? But our business is we're going to act like we're progressive, and we're going to be down with that liberal slant because that's the product of news that we're selling. And everything we'll do will project that. So people will mistakenly feel that we're on their side because we're selling their T-shirts. Feel me?
Right.
Smoke and mirrors.
So then you realize the truth that, no, what they're really trying to do is make it so they don't even have to talk about us no more on the news, right? You know? So then what are you willing to do? You got the nice T-shirt. Do you want to give it back, or you know, it's whatever. Now you got a whole wardrobe.
Exactly. And the thing is that it's unfortunate, but we still need to have those vehicles out there to beat the drum, to call things when it happens, and
we need to have our own.
Yeah,
that's right.
And that's what it boils down to. I mean, you cited Air America a moment ago. And I think there was a genuine effort to get, you know, to derail the Republican Party when they started, the few people who were involved with it, you know, Al Franken and a few others who
were very progressive. Right there. You said it was an effort of them to – it was an effort to derail?
To derail.
Or was it an effort to respond to?
Because they saw what – yeah, to respond. In other words, they wanted to counter – they knew that
it
was important for the Democrats and the progressives.
Got it.
They went back to White House.
Different than derail, because derail is what I think Fox was trying to do, because that suggests to me a nefarious agenda for whatever reason.
The countering
is trying to set the record straight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. The deal is and again, I know this could be a semantical issue, but the bottom line is that, yeah, there is one thing that Fox wants to do under the previous leadership was to eviscerate, if you will, what we were about as progressive people. What Air America tried to do, unfortunately, they also had their own misgivings because they couldn't see. This is my problem with liberal Democrats who basically say one thing, they see the injustices, but they can't get past their own racism. I told a story, and this is no joke. I had my mom and my parents back in the day had pictures of John and Robert Kennedy on the wall, like many black people, you know, who felt that they were going to save the country from extinction back then.
The Big Three,
then.
The Kennedy brothers and MLK. That was the Big Three.
Yeah, exactly,
and
Martin
Luther
King. You know, finally get a chance.
Was in there with him too.
Yeah, and I tell you, I mean, the deal is you get swept up in that. I finally get a chance to meet A. Kennedy and work indirectly with him, Robert Kennedy, the senator's son, the late senator's son. And, you know, I was, you know, my first conversation with him was that, you know, pleased to meet you, and I never pictured you as being so tall. And he turned around and said to me, and he said it with a straight face, I never thought you would be so black. And I never forgot that. I never forgot that. You know, I stood there, and I said to myself, you know, and then you go into the men's room, and Al Franken is in there with you, and says, man, I like the way you read that news, man. You know, like I wish I had that hook that you had, like, you know, little things that I would do just to basically promote their agenda. But, you know, black folks, and I'm not just saying me, the Clayton Rileys, the Mark Rileys, there are so many other people who came before me. I'm not even saying because these are people I worked with, but, you know, your mom, you know, not to forget her memory. But, I mean, the bottom line is all these folks were out there before, and then all of a sudden you're going to turn around and say and act like as if, well, here's one who made it out of grade school, he could read, you know? I mean, it was, as I said, this is my problem with some of these liberals. They may have good intentions, but at the end of the day, you know, they don't have the agenda straight. So we got to tell our own story. And that's the one thing that I got out of that Byron Allen interview is that you can't
exactly.
go up to somebody white and say, I'm gonna promote your daughter's culture the way I see it and expect that to fly.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And really the issue, Wayne, as you explained it clearly, is that Byron Allen, yes, wants to be a player in that major league game. Okay,
yeah.
They'll squeeze him out. But by their squeezing him out, they're not just challenging him based on his money. They are challenging him to be black. You see, you just gave us the perfect example of you passing the paper bag test. Kenneth Clark
right.
and his wife would have loved your comment right there because they would have said, which did you choose, my brother? Did you choose the black doll or the white doll?
Exactly.
So what are you saying, champ? What are you saying about Byron? What are you saying about
Byron Allen?
Because
they want to squeeze him out of the market because he's buying in.
Right.
And what he is saying is that the 1866 Civil Rights Law gave
right.
permission to freed blacks to buy
right.
into the system.
Right.
Now, if you
right.
rebuke that law, you're telling us
right.
black
that's
people,
what they're trying to
no
do. That's
matter,
what we're talking about.
That's
what they're
what
trying
they're
to.
Trying to
yeah, that's
exactly,
what we're talking about. Yeah,
that's exactly it. So I mean, it's sad that he's the only player right now. But you know what, Byron Allen, if you really want to play this game correct, join your forces with Tyler Perry, Oprah Winfrey. Get your bunny into that consortium group, and you will be
but
able
who
to
knows,
challenge.
Well,
wait,
who knows where
there.
They tried to do it and where they stand along those lines?
That's,
you never know.
And
I mean,
yeah, you never know.
We don't know those things. I mean, Byron was all through that particular interview on the grill. He made a point of stressing, I'm speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for
yes,
all black people. And he was
right,
his
right.
point with Reverend Al and Mark Morial, and why he named them in the lawsuit, was that they presented themselves as speaking for all black people when they took the
yeah.
money and the donations that they took and tried to mediate
yeah.
the situation. Now, there's,
yeah,
you know,
we'll see.
In terms of, like, getting back to what I was talking about in terms of totally boycotting them and cutting yourself off from that access to that information, you know, is what's more strategic in my eyes, you know, what ends up being the best way to go about achieving your ends. Basically pimping them, but don't, you know, pimping them before they can
yeah.
pimp you. Excuse the street vernacular to those who may be listening, but you know what I mean. They give great wealth of
yeah.
information. So, but how do they make their money? Well, we got to get the information, we got to watch their show and go through and watch the commercial. So how can I not, because that's how they get paid. So how can I get not X the commercial out, TiVo it, if you will, like back in the day, and still pimp them for their information? So, you know, that's really kind of the more strategic way to address the situations like that. Hit them in their pocket while taking advantage of what they have to offer.
Exactly, because the truth of the matter is that Bloomberg's money is tied up into the cable industry, and in the Midwest, out there in Kansas City, and in the wheat states and the corn states, Bloomberg is the market competing with Sinclair. That's his money base out there. So all that liberal stuff he keeps talking about, and I didn't realize this until I went out to Lawrence, Kansas several years ago. For a little Kansas, University of Kansas reunion. And on my way back, I met a salesman from Bloomberg. And he gave me the 411 of why Bloomberg was out there in the Midwest. And I didn't realize it because at that time, Bloomberg was still mayor of New York. And I'm thinking, Bloomberg, you know, bought his way into the market in the New York market. But where's his money? What does he really represent? He's got cable out there in the Midwest that's stacking it up, man. I'm telling you. So Byron Allen is not just challenging. He's not just challenging a law. He's challenging his ability to buy in because he has the money. That's what he's basically challenging now. Now, do we side with Brother Byron? Probably we're going to have to, because he's already shown he can corner the weather market. He got
right.
the Weather Channel. Okay.
Right.
Outright.
Yeah.
Which is a great asset. And, I mean, that was brilliant. I didn't know that.
Great asset.
But when he,
yeah.
I mean,
know
so you hear that he owns it. But, I mean, you know,
okay.
I mean, he's never, like I guys tell you, when I first met him, you know, I was giving him props, and he kind of
yeah.
shrugged it off a little bit, you know, telling him about the first time I saw him at the Johnny Carson show. But, you know, that doesn't deter me from being supportive of his efforts to make sure that this law that affects all of us as black people is not undone. So, you know, and that's the whole thing. We might have the personal beef with each other and some of these other individuals. You know, I could imagine that some of these other individuals, like Oprah's show, Oprah's network is running on certain cable networks, you know. Or does she have enough money where she can get past that, or she in that much demand that they couldn't possibly not air her products of her network, or does she own her own network or cable system? You know, and that's really obviously in this particular game where the power lies, right? Whether you got your own outlet, a way to distribute it.
Well, what
your
is products, WN then? I thought that was, you know, the Oprah Winfrey Network. You know, I mean, I thought,
network,
I mean, I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Clearly,
there's a cable system, and they run people's networks on certain cable systems. So does she own a cable system? I think she just owns her own network. Like Byron, he's got his own network. So he doesn't own his own cable system. So
he's
trying to get his networks on various cable systems and buy into that. And that's where, obviously, the big money is. So clearly, the next move up is for there to be a black-owned cable system, which maybe – was BET, would BET have been considered a black-owned cable system?
Well, at one time, it
would have been as it originally started off to be. Yes, it would have been that. But, you know, since it was bought out, it became part of Time Warner, was it? I don't know. It's been so many people
involved in that. CBS picked it up.
Yeah.
Viacom,
now, this just happened, guys. This is just ongoing. This is the latest. Viacom, 47 minutes ago. And pay attention to this, because this is going to be tomorrow's headline.
What's that?
Israeli military says it's raining rockets from Gaza. Islamic Jihad launching one every 7 minutes since leader killed. That this is going on right now in Israel.
Yeah, it's rather convenient.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's rather convenient that type of crisis is jumbled off right now.
More than 200. That's right. More than 200 rockets fired into Israel from Gaza after Islamic Jihad leader was killed. So this is something to pay attention to.
They took a shot at the dude.
Unbelievable.
They killed the Islamic leader.
Yeah. See, this is the pincer effort. In war games, they call this the pincer move. Okay, because it's ultimately taking away from
explain that for people don't know.
Well, if you go to the Art of War, Sun Tzu, you know they created a tactical war effort where the pincer move to cut off the leader's head and hopefully destroy the will of the opposing forces. Now, Israel has and the Mossad have been engaging in this for how many years now? You know, who killed Anwar Sadat? Was it really the Egyptians, or was the Mossad involved in all this? Okay, because Jimmy Carter really was bringing Arafat and Sadat to the table.
Exactly.
You have
that
to
was
go
the highlight
back in
of
history,
his administration.
Guys. That's right.
But it
That's
seemed
right.
like
And Andrew Young got fired from being ambassador to the United States because he was trying to bring the Palestinian state into the fold.
Mm-hmm.
So we
That's right.
history is why the history is so important to understand and recognize the connections, because what's happening right now with the impeachment is not an anomaly. This has been a pot of boiling situation for quite some time, and now it's coming to the point where it's about to spill over and get even more ugly. Let the Republicans keep trying to play that shade that they're playing with Getz and his crew and Nunez. All of them are going to reveal themselves to be exactly what we have already known for quite some time. They're charlatans. They're playing shill for their called leader, and they are part of it. They're part of the coup d'etat. And they're receiving funds to, as they say, the quid pro quo. Trump is saying, I got money to share with you all. Just play with me.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying. Just before, I mean,
that's
it's,
what,
like I've been saying all the time, it's been a race. It's a race to see how many of these people that he can put in place before the good guys, you know, I mean, it's like how many vacancies can we fill with people that are in cahoots with us before they can fill them, you know. I mean, it's the Supreme Court situation all over again, you know, not letting Obama get his Supreme Court nominees.
It's
you know?
Scary. But, that is scary.
Yeah.
When you get with the
I mean,
court
that's
and
just,
the other
just,
courts, you know.
Yeah. That's just, I mean, you know, they're willing to overthrow the government that they've established. But we got 90 seconds, guys, so we might as well sign off right about now.
Been a good show.
Say goodbye to the peoples. Brother Wayne Gilman, you want to tell the folks?
I just want to say keep hope alive, and I just hope that we're nearing the end, the epilogue of what's going on there in Byron's septic tank.
All right. There it is.
Okay.
Brother Wayne Gilman. Brother Byron.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, from the septic tank by RIDX. It gets rid of all that you need to get rid of. It's been flushed several times because Washington is a flow of much manure. But guess what, people? The impeachment is for real. We have the power. Pay attention to the truth, and the truth will set you free.
There it is. Thank you,
Peace
Brother
and love
Byron
always.
We'll
yes, sir.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you next week. All right, this has been the K. Thompson Live Show.
Every Wednesday, we try to do it live at the 8 o'clock hour. My name is Citizen Payne. I'm the son of Kay Thompson, my mom, who is the legendary Kay Thompson on the legendary WLIB News Radio. You can listen to us every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m., or the show is archived, so you can listen to what we're talking about anytime you want. All right? All right, everybody. Talk to you again next week. Take care. Keep your eyes open. Struggle continues.